Costume change. So the program that I want to talk about now is our program called Remaining Relevant in the New Reality, and building sustainable service delivery across the HIV care continuum. CBO's connecting with the dynamic healthcare landscape, which really coincides well with both Tara and Stuart's presentation. I have no disclosures, no relationships to disclose. So at the end of the session, I hope that we're able to, I think we've pretty much described already the changing landscape, but I want to talk about what we've learned from CBOs across the country. I want to discuss how CBOs can maximize integrations of new models for HIV service delivery, including clinical and non-clinical service coordination, identify training and technical assistance needs of CBOs in the changing environment, and explain how CBO infrastructure can be supported through strategic business planning, funding diversification, and partnerships, mergers, and acquisitions. And identify best practices for building CBO capacity to remain relevant in the new reality. So for CBOs, besides the tremendous fundamental shift that is occurring in the public health system as a result of ACA, we have increased accountability on CBOs right now. We have the National HIV-AIDS Strategy in 2010 that was published, CDC's HIV high impact, how about CDC's high impact HIV prevention strategies, the White House's HIV Care Continuum Initiative, and HRSA's new guidelines for clinical new guidelines related to HIV clinical care, all being published and all having metrics in which to measure outcome. As CBOs begin to transition in this new environment, there is more of a focus on a shared role to support patients across the HIV care continuum, beyond the simple screening and diagnosis, but to looking at how individuals can link people to care more accurately, CBOs, and how they can help retain individuals in care. As we know, CBOs are a valuable resource. They're a trusted resource by many community members, and making sure that clinical providers are aware of the services that CBOs are offering so that they can tap those resources. In this shared role in combination HIV prevention, there is a shared responsibility for both clinical and non-clinical providers. There's a greater emphasis on combination HIV prevention strategies that cannot be siloed in clinical and non-clinical settings, but they have to be patient-centered and coordinated between both of those settings. So what is the new reality? We've talked about the stressed infrastructure that's occurring as a result of ACA, changes in funding that are occurring, new biomedical interventions and how they can be accessed in non-clinical settings. And there is a new way, there's also the new way of doing work, which is moving from the widget counting, which CBOs have been accustomed to for a very long time, to really being able to measure how health outcomes are measured in the services that they provide. CBOs are closing, and there's the potential to undermine the critical health, public health infrastructure that they provide. When we did in a survey of 200 CBOs, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, 70% of those CBOs that were surveyed have a sole public health, a public funding source as their budget. So one grant loss could mean financial destabilization of the organization. We reached out and we did an assessment with health departments across the country, and 50% of health departments estimated that within the next 5 years, 50% health departments indicated that 50% of their CBO infrastructure would have been lost, and then will be lost in the next 5 years as a result of the landscape changes. So what do CBOs need to do to remain relevant? So what we have done is we've done a number of assessments across the country, and we know that many CBOs are not equipped to respond to the changing HIV prevention care and treatment landscape and to really advocate for their resiliency in the new healthcare environment. And there's also limited capacity building and technical assistance that is available relating to organizational development and leadership for CBOs in adapting new business models and practices and service delivery methodologies. When we conducted our assessment of the 200 CBOs and ASOs, and we conducted an assessment on their knowledge and capacity to respond to healthcare reform, 78% of those individuals responding indicated they have a very limited understanding still on how healthcare reform will ultimately impact their organization. 63% acknowledged having limited business planning, and 70% of non-clinical CBOs haven't considered any formal partnerships with clinical organizations in their communities. 50% have low or very low understanding of Medicare and Medicaid policies and reimbursements, and 54% have a low or very low understanding of third-party reimbursement and third-party billing. When we grouped technical assistance needs together, we came up with four categories: infrastructure development, fiscal development, policy knowledge, and strategic planning as the top four areas of TA need. Really looking at the infrastructure of the organization, going in and assessing their readiness to adapt to the changing environment. I know that Tara was talking about culture change. Culture within organizations is very difficult to change over time. And really being able to adapt those new service delivery models into their practices. I attended a CDC CBO consultation about a year and a half ago, and the CBO members that were in the room, one of them specifically said, listen, I just want you to tell me what to do. I don't, like, you're telling me, we're moving from Ebbies and Debbies to now measuring health outcomes. Just tell me what service I'm supposed to provide. So having the infrastructure in place to allow them to adapt creatively to this new environment. Fiscally, development, having them identify billable services that they're offering. Many ASOs and CBOs assume, they're non-clinical, that they have no services that they can bill for in an environment. And oftentimes we go in and we do an assessment and we're like, yes, you could possibly seek reimbursement for these services. How they establish billing systems or third-party reimbursement systems, whether that is within one organization or it's through a coalition in a community. And ultimately, how do they market their services to insurance plans to help improve health outcomes for the enrollees of the plans? And ultimately, diversifying that funding so that no more than 40% of any funding is from any one source. When we look at public knowledge or policy knowledge, really understanding how healthcare reform is going to be impacts the local infrastructure in a community, and taking those national policies and really translating them into to practice. What does it mean? How does my program relate back to the national HIV AIDS strategy, and can I show an outcome of my work that it's a positive outcome of the work that we're doing. When we looked at strategic planning as a technical assistance need, oftentimes we encourage ASOs and CBOs to start by examining their mission and asking them the simple question, has your mission been fulfilled? Or does your mission need to change? And assessing the relevance of that mission for the next 1 to 3 years. Really, technical assistance is needed to support a structured business planning process, moving from strategic planning to really looking at a business model moving your organization to, and making sure that strategic plans actually include healthcare reform implementation and addressing fiscal sustainability of the organizations. Many of them do not across the country. And ultimately, how do they get their boards of directors engaged in this changing landscape so they can be supportive of the HIV delivery landscape changes and improve strategic planning to ensure sustainability of the organization? And ultimately, creating a mechanism for CBOs to share and adapt both innovative practices to support strategic planning, acquisitions, and closures. So the insights from the assessments really broke down into CBOs need help to determine their role and position in the new reality. CBOs are struggling to identify and advocate for that relevance, and there are gaps in the technical assistance services to support the organizational development of organizations. So what we did is we took this information and we put together a program called Remaining Relevant in the New Reality, Building ASO and CBO Capacity. And this is a program that is a multifaceted program. It's conducted in person. It is interactive. It's a technical assistance program that really responds to the local needs of a community and relates services in that community to the HIV care continuum. We use some multiple formats to help facilitate learning in the community, including both facilitated discussions, panel discussions, skill building activities, and most importantly and desired is the one-on-one technical assistance with national experts that we bring with us to those trainings. We ask CBOs to engage in an objective self-assessment of their programs, their fiscal sustainability, their readiness to evolve missions and services, and their openness to develop collaborative models or strategic partnerships. From those self-assessments, we tailor our training specifically to the community. So the content of our curriculum, we have kind of developed a template of needs that we try to cover in all of our activities. And they range from transitioning to a sustainable agency structure, participating in health marketplaces, third-party billing and reimbursement, understanding confidentiality and data sharing, huge, huge concern. And oftentimes, collaborations are hindered by the fact that individuals say, we can't share data because of HIPAA. And that's not true. So how do we establish business agreements between clinical and non-clinical organizations to support clients across the care continuum? Helping them look at their services and determine a unit cost. Many ASOs and CBOs have depended on grant funding for years, and we're going to do X number of tests over the next year, not really understanding how much it costs them to actually provide a particular service. And then ultimately marketing their programs to health insurers and health plans. There are lots of organizations and lots of health plans that contract with non-clinical organizations in communities in order to provide health navigation services and other social support activities that can be tapped if you know what you're doing. And ultimately, sharing best practices approaches in communities and identifying and developing those strategic alliances and partnerships. So we bring together those multiple sectors of a community, and this is kind of an example of who we invite to these meetings. And over the 2 days of these meetings, we work with these partners to really start forming strategic partnerships. I'm always amazed that when you get people into a room like this, how many people don't know who else in their community is offering a similar service or where duplication occurs. So we also go through with the client, with the participants in the room, a service matrix where they actually look at the services they provide and kind of evaluate whether they do a good job at providing these services or whether somebody else would do a better job of providing those services, and then having them find people that they can fill the gaps in the service continuums that they offer. So just as a recap of the participants who participated in this program so far, we've done six of these around the country in high-need areas, and 63% of the ASO and CBOs were in a leadership position or a decision-making staff. Unfortunately, the majority of the individuals participating were not the CEOs of the organizations, which I'll talk about in a second. We make sure that we invite those health officials and health department representatives. We work in concert with them to pull together these activities. We make sure that we have clinical organizations in the room to support the so that they can begin talking with non-clinical organizations. And we make sure that we have payers in the room, Medicaid and other major insurance providers in a particular plan. Of the 350 individuals who's participated in the program, this is a breakdown of their roles within the organization that you can see, and some activities that we've done. Or this is a training that we recently done for the state of New Jersey in New Brunswick, addressing third-party reimbursement issues and collaborations within communities. The training has been highly evaluated by the participants, 80% believing that it really addressed their training needs. They got relevant tools out of it, gained practical knowledge that they can implement within their organizations. And as an aftermath of this program, we provide one-on-one TA to organizations that request TA in a particular community. And we try to do as many as possible, but we do have limitations with funding in order to do that, but we are very creative in helping them connect to individuals or peers that can help support them along the way. So what are some of the implications quickly? I know I'm running out of time here. Really looking at needing to have ongoing and adaptive trainings continue for CBOs as healthcare evolves, and taking the work and really condensing it and allowing CBOs to have something that is manageable that they can translate into practice. We need to get more CEOs and leaders and the high leaders involved in the program, including a board of directors, because they're the decision makers ultimately. And many CBOs, while they have great access to webinars and resources, they need to have one-on-one help with implementation. There is currently not a network for CBOs to share best practices, models, and tools that have been developed around the country for HIV prevention, a central location for those. So one of the things that we're launching on Monday, actually, is we're launching a leadership initiative for ASOs and CBOs as an outgrowth of this program. It's going to offer, we're going to offer as our first component of this, a leadership training and certificate program. It is a six-module course that's very much based on a CE, continuing education framework, with a pretest as you go into it, and it's addressing the major points of remaining relevant: business planning, change management, addressing biomedical advances, funding diversification, the impact of health exchanges on practices, and ultimately those mergers, partnerships, mergers, and acquisitions of organizations. At the end of this first set of workshops, they'll get a certificate of proficiency and completion in ASO leadership, and also access to a variety of tools and resources that they can continue to implement in their practice. The next steps of this are to implement that environment for ASOs and CBOs to really connect and share best practices throughout as they migrate and move through this continuum. Thank you very much.